Please silence all electronic devices.
I'm sorry, folks. I don't trust them. And our folks don't trust them.
There is a great deal of overreaction from those who are criticizing this legislation. They will see me in court. You know, if the General Assembly were really trying to do a power grab, there's a lot of things the General Assembly could do, and we weren't.
And they don't have a very good track record there.
Any further discussion or debate?
From our new legislative studio in the basement of the North Carolina General Assembly, this is the WUNC Politics Podcast. I'm Jeff Tiberi. It is Thursday, April 4th, 2019. Glad to have you along for this edition of the pod. We're talking federal indictments, the elevator queen, and maybe even southern cities. Your guest is State House reporter from WRAL. Finally getting him on the podcast, Travis Fain. How are you?
I'm glad to be here. I've been wanting to be. The best intro in politics with the raise up and probably the best podcast, political podcast in North Carolina.
I appreciate all that buttering up to get us going. There's not a ton of competition at this point, and we should note that just recently, you and Laura Leslie, your comrade down here at the legislature, have started podcasting The Wrap, which for those in the North Carolina political bubble is generally a daily review of what happened down here at the legislature on television, but you've now posted the audio as well.
Yeah, that's right. It's always been a video, but we're stripping the audio out and putting it up for people who want to consume it that way and would love feedback. You know, it's become a lot longer than it has been in the past,
yeah.
And I hope people like that.
Travis Fain on Twitter, at Travis Fain, F-A-I-N. Let's get into the big news of the week, which, of course, were federal indictments that came down in this political bribery investigation. The prosecutors used the word brazen, which I think, and if you've got a better word, you've got a great vocabulary. I want to hear it. But this was really the meshing of arrogance and sheer stupidity. As we read the indictment, it was like, oh, my Lord, they did that. Why would they do? I can't believe they did this. What, if anything, rose to the top of the messy pile for you?
Yeah, I was talking to someone this morning, and it seems like a lot of white-collar crime, at least as described by the feds, turns out to be some combination of kind of greed and stupidity or a feeling of invincibility. I mean, you have these kind of clandestine meetings that weren't all that clandestine, where the state insurance commissioner is clearly recording conversations for the feds, and it does kind of come together as described in the indictment, because obviously we're just hearing from the prosecutors and the FBI as kind of a comedy of errors.
So the four folks who were indicted, Robin Hayes, the state Republican Party chair, who for all intents and purposes stepped down from his post a day later. I guess he hasn't, as far as I'm concerned, he has stepped down from that post.
Stepped away from day to day. I don't know what that means.
It was vague the way they did it. And it did seem a little bit surprising to me that he didn't leave immediately. You can maintain your innocence and also walk away, right?
Yeah, and the party, the day the indictments came down, the party took hours to say anything about
right.
it. And then when they did, they said they were aware of three indictments and totally neglected to mention that there was a fourth one, and it was the chairman of the state party. I don't know what that was about, other than obviously a lawyer wrote the statement,
for sure. Yeah. Right. So Hayes is a former five-term U.S. House representative from North Carolina. Two associates were also indicted of, and I'm winding my way back toward it, the mega donor, Greg Lindbergh. And Lindbergh is somebody who you've done a decent amount of reporting on over the last year and a half. He has emerged, surprisingly, kind of out of nowhere as North Carolina's biggest political contributor. Those four men, Lindbergh, two associates, and Hayes, they allegedly conspired to try to bribe the state insurance commissioner, Mike Causey. Let's chat a little bit about Lindbergh, because I think there's still a lot of unknown about him. But big picture, and we'll get into some of the more specifics, but big picture, what do we know about Greg Lindbergh?
He has lived in Durham. He has owned at one point the most expensive house in Raleigh. The Durham house has like tennis courts and a tennis center and an underground tunnel. He appears to own a yacht. I've seen court filings where he and his wife are arguing about going to Malta or not. His estranged wife, I believe, because it's a divorce filing.
My wife and I go to Wilmington sometimes on the weekend.
And he appears to be a billionaire. I mean, I don't know how much money the guy has, but that's how he's been described. And he clearly has tons of money. So, I mean, this man lives in a different atmosphere than the rest of us. And that atmosphere allows him. We've got like 8.4 or so million that he's given across the country to various federal races and to other states, including North Carolina. If you put it just North Carolina, it's like 5.5 from him. And if you add in people who work for his company, he's got like 300 companies, a lot of single purpose entities, kind of all under one umbrella. That's like 6 million. So just a ton of money flowing. And he came onto my radar screen, I guess, either at the end of 2017 or early 2018, mm-hmm. when I was looking through campaign finance reports, as I typically do.
In that final quarter of 2017.
And just, holy cow, who is this person I've never heard of, you know, dropping six-figure checks on people? And it was Greg Lindberg.
$1 million, I believe, on December 26th of 2017 to a political action committee. 3 days later, another $1 million check. And there were, a lot of six-figure checks. $500,000 to the Republican Party, $250,000 to the Democrats. And they just kept coming.
Yeah.
What do we know about his ideology? I mean, from what we gather, he's a conservative or a Republican. He leans right. He wants loose business regulations. But what do we know about his wants politically?
We don't know a heck of a lot. Insurance regulation.
Right.
He's got a number of businesses regulated by the State Department of Insurance and state departments of insurance in other states as well. So that's kind of how the giving seems to be targeted. But then there's giving that really doesn't make sense. Like, he gave a bunch of money to committees that support Dan Forrest, Lieutenant mm-hmm. Governor, who obviously is running for governor in 2020. So you kind of have to point forward to it and assume that's why that is. But it doesn't have a direct tie, you wouldn't think, to the insurance business. He has been frequently described to me by one of his attorneys, and he's got a lot of them, as bipartisan. I don't know that the giving really bears that out. Most of it has gone to Republicans, although sizable amounts have gone to Democrats, particularly people tied to Wayne Goodwin, the mm-hmm. former state insurance commissioner. So it comes back to that again.
He preceded Causey. Goodwin has not spoken to the media, unless you've talked to him in the last 12 hours.
He hadn't put out some carefully worded statements.
Right.
I have not talked to him.
Right. You have tried.
We've
I have tried. Other folks have tried. Goodwin, he was deposed as part of this federal investigation. Do we know that or do we not? I'm trying to remember. I'm not looking at notes.
I honestly can't remember if I know that or not.
Okay. Goodwin is a player or a variable in this whole unfolding bribery mess. I think there are a lot of puzzle pieces that are unclear. How many puzzle pieces there are, where the puzzle pieces fit in. I think we're going to learn a lot more in the weeks and months to come. I want to hammer down a little bit more on some of the money. We're talking about some big figures here. And just for context, I think a lot of people listening know this, but this is not money that's matched by, 15 or 20 other people. I mean, the breadth at which this came, the amount, I mean, this is unprecedented. Art Pope has donated a lot of money in the past, but not quite like this. Saying all that, acknowledging all that, there's a lot of money that's going out in late 2017, early 2018 to entities we've mentioned, also the North Carolina House Caucus fundraising effort. But one place where there didn't seem to be any money arriving was the North Carolina Senate Caucus, which struck other reporters as interesting. I mean, why would that be? He's doling out all these checks, and the North Carolina Senate probably wields more power than any other entity in state government. So you've done some reporting on that. Share with us why that is, to the extent that we know that the Senate didn't receive money from this guy, Lindberg.
Yeah, I'd say they were conspicuously absent from the roles of, because he gave to so many people, and why not the Senate? And Senator Berger saying yesterday he met with him less than five times. And I was eventually, it was kind of like pulling teeth, but was eventually able to get a source who wouldn't, unnamed, but someone in the know, obviously, who said that they, in fact, the Lindberg people, in fact, offered a significant donation. This would have been late 2017, early 2018, same period of time. He'd heard that, someone new is dropping big checks, and it just didn't feel right, and they declined the money. So that's the story from the Senate side. Lindberg, and his folks, they're not returning calls, so it's difficult to gather enough sources on this story to really feel 100% confident in everything.
And on a number of facets of it, and just sticking with the Senate side, particularly to glean Why was it the Senate said, we don't feel good? Was it something subtle? Was it something overt? It could be either. It could be neither. I don't know at this point.
The way it was put to me by the source was it just didn't add up. You know, just it didn't feel right. Who's this person coming out of nowhere and dropping money? Which was, I mean, the reason that I was writing about him in late 2017 or early 2018, whenever it was who is this person? You know, I would call people who had covered, who had watched North Carolina politics for decades, and I'd say, hey, this guy, you know, has given X million dollars, and they'd say, well, what?
Right. And
who?
And why?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that still remains, it remains a big question. You feel as though we're only just beginning with this thing. Are we partway through?
Probably.
Okay.
Probably. I mean, he was clearly interested in insurance regulation. The indictment says that he wanted someone who was maybe cracking down isn't the right word, but a regulator at the Department of Insurance wanted her gone or wanted her put somewhere where she would be. He wanted maybe his guy put in and she would answer to him. And there was a Wall Street Journal that came out a couple of months ago, because this is a national story. I mean, this guy is in a number of states. Right. North Carolina is the locus, but it's not the end of it. There's been some reporting out of Florida, too.
Right, some real intrigue there.
Yes. So some of it, at least some of it, was about capitalization, about how much money his insurance businesses had on hand if they had to pay out policies. And I'm going to dumb this down because I have to dumb it down to understand it myself. So kind of take it with that grain of salt. But I mean, it sounds like they're questioning whether or not there was a shell game going on where money's moving around between all these different entities and was enough money left in each entity that needed it to be able to pay out these policies.
There are three microphones in this room we're sitting in. And I would like to note, as we have Travis Fain here on the WDONC Politics podcast, that this is the very first interview I have conducted in this new legislative studio. Our banishment to the basement is complete, but I'm glad to have you getting us going in this new room. We have a third microphone here. If Greg Lindberg were sitting at this microphone right now, what would you ask him?
Oh, man, I feel like that would be a 6 or 7 hour conversation.
What would you ask him first?
How'd you make your money? I think I'd start with that. His online biography says he started a newsletter, and then it kind of yada, yada, yadas over some stuff. And then he's a bootstrap investor. I mean, I think he went to Yale. He's from California. He seems to be a genius of some kind. I would ask him what he wanted, why he kept dropping these checks. I mean, I think I would just get his take on what we've been talking about here and try to nail some things down. I've obviously requested a number of interviews that he has declined. At one point, his attorney or spokesperson, and he's got a number
he's
of spokespeople, said, hey, send us some questions. He'll look at them. That's as far as I've gotten. They did not, you know, the email came back saying, nah, you ain't going to do it. And that was last year sometime.
Does any part of this feel like small potatoes to you? If and we don't know for a fact that he's a billionaire, it feels as though he's close to that threshold if he's not there. But we're talking about a billionaire. And generally, when we think about super wealthy people and the influence they want in politics, it's different than insurance regulations. Does it seem like small potatoes at all?
It could be a number of things. What you kind of bandy theories around in your head. And one of them could just be like, I'm collecting politicians, you know, because $1 million check. And I've heard this from a number of people who've gotten big money from him is, you know, for guys like that, $1 million just, you know, it's not a lot. So why not? Why not donate?
You've been a reporter a long time. As we look at the calendar, we're less than 11 months from the Republican primary here in North Carolina. The 2020 election has already begun in earnest, right? Is this a story, as you read the tea leaves right now, that is going to have major impact and long-lasting effects as Republicans across the board are running over the next 18 months or so? Or is this just the latest blip in what seems like a hyper fast news cycle in recent years?
I think it will have some impact, but I don't have a good grasp on what people think is important.
Yeah.
And I think I never did. I just maybe thought I had a better grasp years ago. Mm-hmm. And I think we're learning a lot more about how people consume media and what matters and what doesn't. And what I'm learning is that I just don't know. We have a pretty high bar in journalism before we say we know something. I definitely don't know. But I mean, you would think for Dan Forrest, this is a problem. And the man's running for governor. He put out a press release the other day and on camera said, you know, the people indicted were my friends. In this soundbite world we live in, we were talking in the press room the other day.
Might hear that soundbite again.
You're going to hear that soundbite again.
Definitely going to hear that soundbite again.
So I think that's an issue for him. And then on the other side, I mean, I think Wayne Goodwin. I've been surprised how the Democrats have really pushed this story. You know, well, what does Tom Tillis think of Robin Hayes being indicted? You know, look, more GOP corruption.
Right.
And, you know, they took the money, too.
It seems as though there is some firing of stones in a plate glass house that could come back to shard the Democrats a little bit on this.
Yeah, I mean, they keep saying, Goodwin keeps saying through a party spokesperson that he was not the target of the FBI inquiry, that he cooperated with the FBI inquiry. But, I mean, so
there's still outstanding questions. I mean, what was your relationship with Lindbergh? Why did you go and work as a consultant for him afterwards? What was offered to you, if anything? And those are questions that we need to have answered at this point.
The feds say that Lindbergh tried to bribe our current insurance commissioner through campaign donations, but he wanted nothing from the previous insurance commissioner who he was giving campaign donations to.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars in campaign donations, too.
Yeah, I think it was between him and other people that worked for him, $125K to Goodwin's committee. And then there was a PAC. And of course, you know, with these PACs, the candidate does not control them. They work for their reelection, though. And there was one Lindbergh set up that I think spent or had funding about $400,000. And I don't know that it was purely a Goodwin vehicle, but it definitely put out at least one commercial calling for his reelection. And then, you know, Causey wins, and all of a sudden, the money starts flowing, right, you know, to Causey, or except Causey gives it back, calls the feds.
On Twitter, at Travis Fain, also NC Capital on Twitter. You can read and see some of Travis's work at WRAL.com. Biggest, most memorable controversy that you ever covered as a reporter?
It might be this one coming up, but the number one right now, I was in Virginia for the Bob McDonald trial. That's the governor. He was then former governor who was indicted by the feds on bribery charges. And interestingly enough, I'll put this bug out there. So the big witness against him was the guy that allegedly tried to bribe him, and he got an immunity deal because the feds prioritized the politician over the alleged briber. So that's something to remember. Also something to remember, that case went all the way to the Supreme Court. McDonald won in the end on a unanimous decision that made it a lot harder to prosecute these honest services fraud cases. So will that affect whatever trial we get out of this Lindbergh mess?
Right. All right, we're going to drop a pin in it for now. We probably could keep rambling for a little while, but a couple other things to get to. And there's much more on this developing, ongoing investigation, as we heard from Senator Berger a couple times yesterday when we pressed him on some of this stuff. And I think there's just a lot of uncertainty. And folks here, I think there are probably a lot of people in this building that don't have relationships with Greg Lindbergh. I'm purely speculating now, but I think there are a lot of people that just don't have relationships with Greg Lindbergh, and they are very wary right now of saying anything or getting caught up in a federal scope or investigation when they don't really have anything to hide, and they don't want it to seem as though they have something to hide.
Yeah, I think there are a lot of people who are scared to talk and don't really have any reason to be.
News came on Tuesday that a longtime labor commissioner, I believe she was in her fifth term, it will be 20 years, come 2020, when Cherie Berry steps down, does not run for another re-election, but you were not at the state
I was
council.
There.
You were at the council of state meeting. How was she? So she announced it to the council of state panel that she would not be seeking re-election in 2020. What was the reaction?
Surprise. And I people seem to love them some Cherie Berry, too, because, I mean, the governor said some nice things. Of course, it's always easy to say something nice about a Republican who's retiring when you're a Democrat. But yeah, a lot of surprise. I mean, there's if you go to these council of state meetings, they're very boring, except for when she talks. And at the end, each member of the council of state, there are 10 of them, they can give a little report, you know, say, oh, I'm doing this month, I'm doing that this month. And her report, so to speak, was hey, y'all, I'm not running for re-election anymore.
We don't have a ton to say about Commissioner Barry. However, there is a parody account on Twitter, the Elevator Queen. I would venture, my hypothesis would be that Cherie Barry's picture is more prevalent in this state than anyone else's picture. That may very well be true.
It's in every elevator. And there's 20-something thousand of
Yeah.
them.
I'm trying to think of someone who else. I mean, I guess
the president in federal buildings, the governor is in state buildings, but I don't think there's 20,000 of those. And each of those buildings has at least one elevator, right?
In public places too, right? Like I'm thinking like, oh, Michael Jordan, like there are probably 20,000 playing cards.
I've got
a lot of your picture
in my house, so.
That's creepy and weird. But that's not a public place. That's just for your enjoyment. The Elevator Queen, the parody account. You tweeted about this the other day. Why do you love this parody account so much?
It's I don't know if it really captures the commissioner's personality or if it is so ingrained in me that I am ascribing this parody account to her personality. But I mean, it's got a lot of Southern charm. It's hilarious. I love the way this person, whoever is behind this parody account, kudos to you, just hates on former North Carolina elected officials. I mean, trashing Pat McCrory, going after June Atkinson, and I mean.
It's a bipartisan parody account. I mean, the barbs go just about every which way.
Man, it's like if you could take the word y'all and cheerwine, add some hatin', and turn it into a Twitter account.
Some quick ones to get you. Anything else on the parody account or Cherie Barry?
Check it out, at Elevator Queen. I would love to just sit here and read them, but that's probably not good radio.
All right, lightning round before we get you out of here. You are a Georgia grad.
That's right.
Favorite Bulldog of all time?
Oh, of all time?
Yeah, of all time.
Can I say Larry Munson, who used to do the play-by-play for the Georgia Bulldogs? Him or maybe Charlie Trippi, who was like back in the World War II era. And I got to interview him one time, and I asked him why, as a quarterback and halfback and safety, he wore number 62. And he said, well, that's the number Coach Butts gave me, and I would be afraid to argue with him. So even this guy who... Finished high for the Heisman, probably should have won it, and was a national champion, did what his coach told him to do.
Not to make you feel old, were you in school when Jim Herrick Jr. was the basketball coach at Georgia?
I can't remember if I was in school then or not, but I certainly remember it. He was teaching a class, like a basketball class, and I think one of the questions was, how much is a three-pointer worth? And it became a big scandal because our players were in the class, and... Yeah, not great. He left. Georgia basketball, I don't understand how...
How many players are allowed to play at one time on any team in a regulation game? In what league do the Georgia Bulldogs compete? A, the ACC, B, the Big Ten, C, the SEC, D, the Pac-12.
Yeah, I feel
that was
like...
an actual test that was given to Georgia.
I feel like I should chant SEC into the microphone as an answer to that question. That would be on brand for our people.
We had a conversation this week about brand. In 10 words or less, describe for me Travis Fane's brand.
It's probably not real flattering. Like staring angrily at people while they answer my questions or don't.
That's 10, 12 words. Okay.
Overreacting. I do that a lot.
You don't overreact.
You don't think so?
I think you push back hard at times. Last one for me, I think. One way in which Richmond trumps Raleigh.
Oh, it's got a river running through it. I mean, it's got the James River running right through it. I lived in Richmond for 3.5 years, loved it. Raleigh and Cary, where I live, great places. But it is tough to beat, the rapids down the James River there right in the middle, right by downtown.
Travis Fane, again on Twitter, at Travis Fane, F-A-I-N, State House reporter for WRAL. You can read his work at WRAL.com and see him on the television box every now and again. Travis, glad we got to make this happen. Thanks for coming on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Always happy to have you along and listening to the program as well. You can download it at iTunes, Google Play, or Stitcher. Leave us a review there if you are so inclined, good, bad, or indifferent. And stay up to date with whatever is happening with federal investigations or policy proceeding through your legislature at our website, wunc.org. For Travis, I'm Jeff. Thanks for tuning in. We'll talk to you again next week.